No one has claimed responsibility for today's attack on a Christian church in Pakistan. Authorities say one or more men lobbed hand grenades into the church during a Sunday service. The explosions killed five people, including a U.S. Embassy employee and her teenage daughter. It's the latest in a series of violent attacks across Pakistan. As with many of the attacks, police have suspicions of who's responsible, but no suspects. NPR's Steve Inskeep reports from Islamabad.
The survivors say they saw only one attacker. He might have been in his 20s. He was wearing dark clothes. He walked into the back of the church just as a lay preacher was beginning a sermon, and he began throwing grenades into the congregation. Some witnesses say another grenade flew over the assailant's head, raising the possibility that there might have been a second attacker behind the first. Smoke filled the room. Churchgoers dove to the floor, and the survivors say they could not see what happened next. American Mark Robinson couldn't even hear it.
People screamed, turned around, and the blast went off. I was aware of two that went off, but my ears stopped working after that, so I don't know.
Robinson struggled out of the building through glass doors shattered by the force of the explosions. He found his wife and two children who'd been in the Sunday school and nursery downstairs. Then he went back into the church, where folding chairs, Bibles, and bodies lay strewn across the floor.
A couple of my friends were badly hurt. A little boy was hurt, and just people everywhere needed help, so we just did what we could. There were a couple of unexploded grenades sitting there, so we had to shift people who were in a lot of pain.
Canadian Gary Allen lay for a long time on that floor. He says he believes a grenade exploded just a few feet from his head.
It was a concussion grenade, not a shrapnel grenade. Otherwise, I'd have been dead. I had a hard time getting up because of the, I was in shock and in a lot of pain.
The church was right down the street from the U.S. Embassy, and an American diplomat, Martin Green, was among the injured. The explosion killed his wife, Barbara, who also worked at the embassy. Their daughter, Kristen, was severely wounded, though still alive, when emergency crews reached the scene. Police were struggling to move so many wounded that they loaded the teenager onto a bus with other victims. According to one witness, Kristen died in the bus on the way to the hospital. In the afternoon, the remnants of this multinational congregation filled Islamabad's emergency rooms and hospital hallways. A Canadian missionary stood in a dark room waiting for news of a Pakistani friend who'd been hit in the eye by shrapnel. A man from Chicago lay with his leg bandaged, drifting off to sleep from painkillers. Refugees from Iraq stood around the bed of a relative who'd been wounded in the shoulder. An Iranian limped through a hallway, holding out a passport that belonged to his murdered friend from Afghanistan. And U.S. Ambassador Wendy Chamberlain arrived to see the bodies of two Americans stretched out on gurneys in a back hallway.
President Bush and President Musharraf and other courageous men and women around the world were absolutely right to take on the terrorists, no matter where they are.
Of the five people killed in the attack, one body remains unidentified. Hospital officials say it was too badly mangled by the explosion. And officials are offering contradictory suggestions today about whether they think that body might belong to a victim or a suspect. As they search for clues, U.S. and Pakistani investigators may begin by digging into a stew of Islamic extremist groups. Each has its own agenda, though some have connections to each other, and in the past, some used Taliban-controlled Afghanistan as a hideout. Now that the Taliban has collapsed, officials acknowledge that some militants may have come back across the border. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf banned five radical groups in January, but shootings and bombings have only increased. Some law enforcement officials say the attacks seem designed to embarrass the Pakistani government. Until now, Islamabad has been insulated from that violence. The capital city is only about 40 years old. White buildings and green parks line the streets. Security guards stand by the doorways of private homes, and barbed wire tops the walls of the U.S. Embassy here. The killings and poverty of the rest of the nation seem almost invisible here. Some residents like to joke that Islamabad is a great place to live. It's clean, it's pleasant, and Pakistan is only 20 kilometers away. Today, this country's reality arrived here. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Islamabad.